Blog Talk Radio.
It may be that the gulfs will wash us down. It may be we shall touch the Happy Isles and see the great Achilles whom we knew. Though much is taken, much abides, and though we are not now that strength which in old days moved earth and heaven, that which we are, we are. One equal temper of heroic hearts, made weak by time and fate, but strong in will to strive, to seek, to find, and not to yield.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter. We shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
Coming across the airways. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the English Defence League radio show broadcasting live on blogtalkradio.com. The English Defence League radio show, the truth and the voice of the EDL. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my wingman, my panelist. Tonight is Mr. Dave Agador Milner. Unfortunately, Al Jan, the Tornado Renee, has got a heavy workload, but she does a lot of things in the background and does a lot of things to help her. The stories that we gravitate to. So a big shout out to you Jen, and God bless you. And I've got I have a big thank you to Dave for the slides and of course the script for today. As well, so there you go. But before we continue, let me just read out our small statement, or should I say the script for the show this evening. So, okay, welcome to the English Defence League radio show with your host, that's me, Jeff Spider Mitchell, and my wingman this evening is Dave Agador Milner. As I said, our Jan the Tornado, isn't it? Is in a heavy work schedule, but helping in the background as always. Tonight we will be discussing the events of the week, and man, have we got plenty of those. 12 foot soldiers, angels, supporter of human rights and patriots across the globe. Keep up the awesome work. Your yellow vests mean caution for the world's despots, because the people have awakened. No surrender. No surrender ever. And with that, I'd like to pass the mic over to my friend, Dave Agador Milner. Take to the stage, Dave.
Hello, good evening to you, Jeff. Good evening to everybody in the UK. Good afternoon to everybody in the States. And hello to everybody around the planet and in other places. That's right. Yeah, so we've got a big, big show today, folks. And, yeah, just stuff popping up all around the world, and particularly in Europe. I mean, the yellow vests have just gone viral. They're in the UK now, the yellow vest, but people have just had enough. They're finished, Jeff. You know this, and these are things that the fake stream media hasn't been covering for years now. By the way, guys, you know, those of you who are just tuning into this and just thinking that this is new and things of that nature, no, it's not new. There have been demonstrations with tens of thousands of people that have gone on that just haven't been covered in the States and in other countries. They think that they can suppress the movement for civil liberties and against this uncontrolled migration by not reporting it on the news. No, sorry, that ain't going to cut it. That's not going to cut it at all. And people in a lot of these European countries and in the UK, I do separate the UK from Europe, are they've had enough. And you're seeing it everywhere. You're even seeing it in Sweden. And that's a country that a lot of people, and you know, do respect to all the freedom fighters out there in Sweden, because we do have some, you know. But that's a country that a lot of us have kind of almost mourned over and said, well, they've just kind of laid down and they're just going to take it. But even they've risen up, Jeff. And
it's the rise of the phoenix, Dave, isn't it? In Sweden, it's like the rise of the phoenix. We thought it was dead, and it rises to the surface. And I think this is like going to be across Europe, like a phoenix, sort of a syndrome, I reckon, Dave. What do you reckon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And by the way, Jeff, you mentioned Jan, with her heavy work schedule and everything. You know, but this is one, again, that probably wasn't covered in the fake stream media, certainly in the States. And if it was, it was maybe given like, you know, 10 seconds. So I want to hit this one, Jeff. This isn't really breaking news. This happened a couple of days ago, but Jan posted this up. This comes off the Mail. All right. And I'm going to give you this for the chat, and we'll start with it. And guys, we have got a big, big show.
We've got someone in the chat room, and that's Gary Kemper. They're a Canadian patriot out there, Dave. So
hey,
I thought I'd give you a bit of a heads up who we got in the chat room at the moment.
Right.
Yeah, David,
cool.
Just got
all right. All right.
While
Jeff puts that in, I'll read it. Okay, this is by Darren Boyle and Chris Dyer for the Mail Online, and it was updated on the 14th. It says a quote unquote Iraqi suspect, age 33, feared to be plotting a Manchester style Christmas bomb attack. Here we go again, guys. Is charged with planning an act of terrorism. So at least they got this one. That's the headline. Subheads, little bullet points. Anti-terror police raided a house in Newcastle on Tuesday, arresting a suspect. It was feared the man may have been planning a Manchester-style attack. Police continued to search the house this morning while looking for evidence. Obviously, Northumbria police announced this evening the suspect had been charged. So I'm going to scroll down a little bit here, but there you go, guys. Once again, the Islamic response to the loving season of Christmas. Okay, let me get up into this. A terror suspect who was nicknamed Pigeon Man by his neighbors after hoarding 25 birds in his ground floor flat, has been charged terrorism offenses. That's how I've got this written, guys. The 32-year-old man from Newcastle has been charged with planning an act of terror, of terrorism, police said. It was feared the suspect, who has been named by police, who has not been named by police, interesting, if he had been a non-Muslim, I think we would have had his name a couple of days ago, could have been planning a Manchester-style bomb attack over the Christmas period. Officers from the counterterrorism policing northeast were helped by Northumbria police when officers arrested the man on Tuesday. He was taken to a police station in West Yorkshire, where he was questioned on suspicion of being on suspicion of being concerned in the commission, preparation, or instigation of acts of terrorism. Police said the arrest was intelligence-led and was planned as part of an ongoing investigation by the counter-terror unit. Okay, and I'm going to scroll down a bit, guys. And again, thanks to Jan for giving us this one. Okay. Officers were seen searching a house in the Arthur's Hill area of the city today. The man will appear at Westminster Magistrates Court on Saturday, which would have been yesterday, charged with one count of engaging in the preparation of an act of terrorism. Chief Superintendent Neil Hutchison, local policing commander for Newcastle, said officials will continue to patrol Arthur's Hill and speak to anyone with concerns. He added, "We recognize that the activity in the past week will have caused some concern and unavoidable disruption to the communities we serve. We work very closely with our colleagues in counterterrorism policing northeast to keep our communities safe." Okay? Okay, just a moment, guys. All right. Now, our main priority will always be public safety and protecting blah, blah, blah. Okay, guys, I'm not going to read any more of this. Basically, you get the point. They busted the guy, and he's going to be facing one charge of planning terrorism. Now, Jeff, you see this, your response to it.
Well, it's just typical. To be honest with you, Dave, I mean, the police like to take charge of what's actually worn down. But let's be honest, Dave, it's the people in the background who quietly go about their business, checking, the chats and this, that and the other, and know exactly what's going on. If it wasn't for them, it's nothing to do with good policing. This is MI5, MI6 at work. And ICO forces. So I'm not giving credence to what the police are saying. I give credence to MI5, MI6, and all the other operations out there. There's covert operations that you've never heard of, Dave, and nor have I. They don't put a name against it that says hush, hush. And because they do sort of delve into going inside and basically being a part of what's going on. So we've got to be careful there because people's lives, are sort of under threat. As we talk about it tonight, I mean, I've got to just give a big thank you to our special service people out there. It's the people that works quietly, Dave, in the background.
Right.
And if it wasn't for them, what you've been seeing in France with terrorist attacks would be a very, very frequent occurrence in the United Kingdom. So, yeah, I would say they're working around the clock, our people. But what the police have got to say, it's great to see that they've taken someone into custody. But don't forget who's done all the hard work So let's not forget, it's easy to lead the horse to the water, but it's more harder to get them to drink. But it does seem that there's a lot of people with a lot of footwork going on, or surveillance. As we know, surveillance is so, so important for the security of your country. So let's give them a big salute, all those people out there who's keeping us all safe, Dave. The same goes for the good guys over in the United States. A lot of people out there who's keeping your country safe from these idiots out there who wants to call mass murder and bloodshed across the planet. So, yeah, that's my way of thinking, Dave, because I speak as a pied buddy. But am I shocked by the news? No, we got hundreds of them out here, Dave. We've got thousands of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's getting them all, isn't it? And it's, you know, you can't just do it under a whim of, could have done that. You've got to get the evidence. You've got to get it. So a lot of work goes into it, because you don't want the case just being thrown out of the court, do you, Dave? You know, you want something serious that you can hammer them, serious prison time for what they intended to do. But there you go, Dave. That's the way I look at it, mate.
Yeah, well, you know, what strikes me, Jeff, is you're right about the fact that very likely as these people so often do, this guy was chatting and bragging and stuff like that online about all this stuff and what he was going to do and whatnot. And it was the people who, as you say, it was the people who were monitoring that, and not monitoring people with real concerns about the Islamization of the UK that could possibly have saved some lives. And I think this shows the direction in which our intelligence agencies need to move, not in expending time, money, and people on this these fake issues of there's a white supremacist under every bed, but actually working to monitor the Islamic threat. That is what really needs to be dealt with. And I'm not saying that there aren't a very few white supremacists who might actually engage in terror. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that the emphasis, certainly over here in the States, and I know, Jeff, for you in the UK, has been, there are white supremacists everywhere. There's one under every bed. There's one in, I guess you guys would say, every cupboard and things like that. No, that's all to take the attention away from the Islamic threat. And that is where our intelligence agencies...
Well, that's the whole idea, isn't it, Dave? Isn't that why they put these statements out? Isn't that why it's all said?
Yeah.
So as to cloudy the waters, when we know who the main problem is, and it's nothing to do with white supremacists or the neo-Nazis out there, because we know...
Right.
There's not that many of them. There are, though. There's not that bloody many. And they stand out like a sore thumb. I mean, come on, that's what I'm saying. It's easy to surveil people like them if they got their these evil, things that for their manifesto, most of them look at it and laugh because they're a fucking joke. Excuse my language, ladies and gentlemen. It's true, isn't it, Dave?
No, they are, yeah.
It's them
who
go at us, the EDL, people like us.
Exactly.
Because we think they're a bloody joke. Basically, just a few of them. And of course, that gives the left everything to chat at us, the EDL, who've got nothing to do. In fact, they're our enemies. We get threats against us from them. So, all this crap that... the EDL's far right and all that crap, how can they label us when you can't really put a label on what we do, Dave, can you? Can you put a label on us?
No,
I don't think so.
Well, unless you want to call it a civil rights movement, which I do. I know that used to annoy Bob Evers, but sorry, that, you know, to me, that's what it is. It's a civil rights movement, and it's a peaceful one. You know, and that leads us, guys, into our main subject tonight. And it is about the Yellow Vesters and all the things they've been doing. And it's been considerable, as we said when we opened the show. You know, these guys have been working in European countries, and now they're working in the UK. And, you know, Jeff and I both think it's pretty magnificent. And Jeff shared an audio from a gentleman that you guys need to hear. This is just over 10 minutes long, Jeff, and I'm going to go ahead and play this, man. And
thanks,
guys,
good.
You bet. It is good, you guys. And check this out. This, for people in the United States and other countries who don't know so much the people of the UK, this is the voice of the real people of the UK. If you're, for instance, if you're a Trump supporter in the United States, or if you're a conservative in the United States, that isn't part of the, you know, practically communist movement that's in our country now. This is the real people of the UK speaking here through this man. So give this a listen. I'm going to start it up. This will be about 10 minutes. Here we go, guys.
So Brexit is a real shambles, and she has run away back to Europe, cancelled the actual vote in the Houses of Horrors because she knows it's not going to get passed through, and has gone to see her little mates, Juncker and the cronies in Europe, to try and get some sort of other deal, even though they've said that enough is enough and that's it, that's the deal you're getting. If you don't like it, you're not getting anything else. But that says it all, really. What is a great country like Great Britain running around to a communist regime who are telling us what we should do and shouldn't do? But do you know what really hurts me? As a British Army veteran, right, when I served in the army, I was very proud to get my medals when I came back from Afghanistan. I was very proud to wear the uniform. I was a very proud British working class lad that I felt had got somewhere in my life by joining the military. And I felt that I'd learnt a lot and matured as a man. And, you know, I felt that I was in a big, big family, and I was serving one of the greatest nations this world has to offer. Now I look back at it and I feel ashamed of the government that we currently have and in the past have had. I don't feel ashamed of anything I've done in the army. Actually, I feel still very proud. And I love the people that I met, my brothers, that I sort of worked with, or, you know, comrades that I was in difficult situations with along my time. And those medals, all those pictures, that's what made me who I am today. I was also a volunteer in Kurdistan, and I'd done that because I wanted to help women and children, Muslim, Christian, whatever they might have been, Kurds. They're not all Muslim, they're not all Christian, okay? They're not all Yazidi. Kurdish population has a mixed bag of different religions, and that didn't bother me in the slightest. I just wanted to help innocent people that were being attacked by a horrible regime, which was ISIS, or is ISIS. And I'm very proud of that as well. But I really feel a lot of pain today. Because that treacherous government, I personally think, has signed the UN Migration Pact. What does that do? People that don't know, the UN Migration Pact is not law-abiding. That's what the mainstream media will tell you, and that's what Theresa May will tell you. But it has 23 obligations. So basically, you need to shut up, and not get out of line. I'm going to tell you one of these obligations. One of the obligations is, laws will be brought in. This is not conspiracy theory, look it up. Laws will be brought in. So, the people that are in this pact, the countries, if you criticise migration, I'm talking about me and you, the mainstream media even, and political parties, you will suffer at the hands of the law. And it will probably involve imprisonment. Freedom of speech, gone. So if I criticise that there's too many migrants here, okay, and it's affecting my culture and the working class communities, that is seen as being disrespectful and could see you facing jail. So freedom of speech has completely gone. She signed this. She signed away everything. She will go down as the worst leader of this country ever. Absolutely treacherous. The countries that are thinking about not signing: Bolivia and Israel, funny enough. Hungary, Austria, Poland, Slovakia, Czech Republic, Austria, Chile, Dominican Republic, Latvia, Italy, and obviously the USA, because Trump wants nothing to do with the UN, because he knows how corrupt to the core it is. But yet we have. Yes, we have. And don't you find it funny that Brexit and the whole sort of hype up to it was around the dates of 10th and 11th, while they're in Morocco signing away our culture, signing away, okay, the traditions, okay, everything that our ancestors have fought for. Now, you might find that a bit crazy and say, well, what are you on about? It's just a migration pact. It's a migration pact that's going to affect us even more than what we've seen. Even if we get Brexit, it's overrided by the UN migration pact, i.e. if you didn't wanted to reduce immigration or migration, then it doesn't matter if you get Brexit or not. It's irrelevant. So I wanted to do this post and sort of be really crazy and mad on it, but what's the point? I'm not going to lose my energy after a 12-hour shift on minimum wage at night, 6 nights a week, to give these elitists satisfaction at the little peasant who's pissed off. I'm simply going to say this. It's all a load of BS. And there's only one way we can really deal with this situation. And that's what we see in France. And that's what we see in Belgium. That's what we see in Holland. An uprising of working class or lower middle class people stepping up to the plate to say no more. No more will I live hand to mouth. Why should we? I don't know about you, but I've worked hard all my life. Anybody that knows me, I'm one of the hardest working people you'll come across. I've grafted all my life. And I'm sick and tired putting money into these people's pockets to make my life miserable, to make my daughter's life in the future horrendous. I'm not against the UN Migration Act just because I solely don't like migrants. I'm against it because it affects our culture. It affects our community, the working class people, because it's very simple. The more people you have in an area, the less jobs. 4.3 million people that are disabled are living in poverty. 14.5 million plus people in the UK, by government statistics, are living in poverty. Do you think that's going to get better or worse? It's easy to work out, man. I ask for one thing. I've done this for many years, and I never wanted to do this stuff on camera and be online, go to these demonstrations. Really, I'd rather go for a picnic on a Saturday or Sunday, or go down the pub with my mates, or go to the football, or just enjoy general good life and maybe go on a holiday, you know. But we don't have that kind of money anymore, because the government has made our standard of living horrendous, especially if you live in London. Simple. There's only one solution. We do what they're doing in France, and I know what yellow shirt I'll be wearing. I saved this. I got given this on Sunday, and I'm very proud of it. Okay, I'll be wearing that yellow shirt. Because because again, that is people that have suffered at the hands, okay, of the establishment. That's what it boils down to. Everything boils down to the establishment, who have taken the piss for far too long. People say, be careful what you say now on camera. I don't care. Very little to lose, much to gain. Plus, I was in the army for a long time, and I bloody love my country, and I love my culture, and I'm a proud white working class man. I didn't want to do this video before the 9th, but now that's all done. Let's get these out. Let's get no permission from anybody, because why should we? And let's start letting them know how we're feeling. Because no one's listening. Not one person's listening to us anymore. And I'm pretty bloody tired. My piss is boiling, I tell you. I've had enough. I've had enough. Really. That's Timothy Scott. And if you don't know me, you're probably fortunate. But if you do from watching this, I've done this for many years. I'm trying to do my best. But I don't want to be here doing this any longer. I want the problem to be solved. Working class people, rise. Our time is now.
Well, there you go. And of course, that was a veteran gentleman, Timothy Scott. And all of these words, I hope you listen to very closely, because they've got a lot of ex-military people involved with what we're doing now. People standing up can see what's going on. I'm really concerned with the situation of, the future of their children. As Tim was saying, he's worried about his daughter's future. And like most of us are worried about, our granddaughter, my great-grandchildren, the way that things are going to pan out. So you heard it from a guy that's actually fought with the army, done his bit, come out, and then he fought out in helping out the Kurdistans. I think it was fighting whatever groups was out there, but.
It was ISIS, bit. Jeff. He was fine. Yeah.
So it's Dave?
I said he was fighting ISIS, is what he was doing.
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant, Dave. Yeah, he was fighting ISIS, with this group of people. So, he knew what was going on out there. He didn't like it, and he wanted to do his bit. He loves people, and he wanted to do his bit, and so he did. And, I mean, He could have had his life taken. I mean, he could have been in a firefight of some sort and lost his life. And, there he is today talking about what's going on. It must be hard for him, being a veteran, to see that he's got to come up and do his thing on video, doing a video of what his thoughts are and what's going on. So when you have a gentleman of his standing speak out, then this is how serious the plight that we have in our countries, isn't it, Dave? It's quite obvious, and it's not just Tim, but there are thousands of people who've been in the military, who come back, and are really, really pissed off with the way that the government are treating the people, patriots and ex-veterans, of this country. Sadly, we've got lots of veterans that sleeping out on the streets while they give credence to people that come here from, say, I don't know, from Afghanistan and all that, put into lovely flats, probably worth millions of pounds, but they can't give credence to those people who went and fought in a foreign country to protect the Queen, this country, it took the Queen's shilling to do it. And I think it's really, really sad when a gentleman, a veteran like Tim, has got to come up to make videos. But all praise to him and all of our veterans out there. We love these guys. I mean, they fight for us. You know, nothing to do with my government or anything. They fight for us as a people. You know, they say Queen and Country. But if the government thinks that these guys put their lives on the line for them, Theresa May thinks they're putting their lives on the line for her, she's joking. They don't. They do it because of us, because of people, patriots, the love of one's country. Nothing to do with politics whatsoever. I don't know how you feel about it, though, but he's a genuine guy, you know what I mean? I mean, of course he's worried about the future of his kids with what he sees, and there has got to be an uprising, there's no doubt about it. We're seeing it happening. We're seeing Westminster Bridge being closed down. It's the only time the mainstream media were tweeting anything about it. I think the Daily Mirror or something like that give a Twitter out there. But just goes to show you cannot suppress the people. The people are going to rise up. And do you know what? All you muppets out there who think this is going to, oh, this could go, a slight thing going on out there. Well, guess what? I think you better look at this more seriously and take charge of what's going on, because these people have had enough. Really, really had enough. And 2019... is going to be a year of action. You know, group things across the country, the closing down of roads, stations, etc. You wait to see, Dave. Mark my words. You know, it's easy to do. Flash demonstrations, and this is what we said, they try to close down the EDL. We just had flash demonstrations right away across this country. We're bringing the country to a halt if we need to. But it seems like, unfortunately, with the treacherous government, they've got no choice, mate. We've got no choice. They're not listening to us. They've betrayed us time and time again. They don't care about us. So we'll have to make them be a bit worried about themselves, because we're not taking this bullshit from them anymore. There you go. Back to you, Dave.
Right, Jeff. Well, the underground professor who served himself in the U.S. Air Force said this. He said that veterans really are still serving because they take an oath. Certainly our American veterans take an oath when they first join up, and it is to protect the Constitution and the people of the United States of America. And they see that as a permanent thing. I'm sure the veterans in the UK, the people in the UK who joined the military, take an oath, and that's a serious thing, and they carry that with them for life, and they mean it. It's an oath, you know. It's something that you take on as a life responsibility, and it sounds as if he's doing exactly that. You know, the sincerity of it struck me, honestly.
Yeah. He's a lovely guy as well. Tim is a really nice guy, and you can hear the frustration in his voice, can't you? He works hard, Dave. He works hard,
yeah.
And to see what's going on there, it's, and think of him almost losing his life, you know, being in the army and then going and fighting against ISIS, and to come back to what, to people who are still betraying. The people that you're our enemy, they're selling it away to that type of people. It's just beyond. I don't know, Dave. It just makes you want to give your head a wobble with what's going on. It's unbelievable.
It is, Jeff, and that's really I think part of the reason that more people don't climb on board with the EDL and with the other patriot groups out there is because what's going on is just something incomprehensible. They can't believe that their own governments would sell them out. It's almost a fantasy That's why you see so many people on the left saying, oh, this is just conspiracy theories. There's no way this could happen. You know, ignore history. You know, ignore what you're seeing on the street and what you're hearing and all this. A lot of people find that easy, sadly, to do because they can't believe that it would happen. But it is happening, and there are enough people now who are upset about this and ready to do something about it, who are out there on the streets. And, yeah, it's happening, and this isn't violent nutbags out there doing this stuff. This is good, real people, and that's I think is the biggest emphasis of all in that video. Now, Jeff, we're about halfway through the show, and if you'd like to call back in, I'll give a couple of programming notes and play us a tune. All right, okay, guys, couple of programming note or two. We are going to be doing our Grinchy Christmas special coming up on Thursday at the normal time. That's 8:30 p.m. in the UK, 3:30 p.m. in the United States. It's going to be a slightly different kind of a Christmas special. It's going to be a Christmas special with an attitude. Jeff's feeling a little bit Grinchy this year, and I thought, well, you know what? We're not gonna spend the entire show putting Christmas down. Certainly not. But we're gonna have a little fun, and that's what that's going to be. And that's going to be our final live show until the 6th of January, when we'll be back ready to rock and roll again. In the meantime, guys, on Thursdays and Sundays, in the interim, you guys will get to hear encore episodes, which we already have set up and ready to go. So. If during the Christmas break that Jeff and I are going to take, you guys want to get your fill of EDL radio, there's going to be, at the appropriate times, that we're going to have some nice archive programs on for you. Now, just to kind of whet your appetites for our upcoming Grinchy Christmas special, I'm going to play one. This is going to be about 4.5 minutes long. Now, here on the English Defense League radio show, we like to try and bring you guys the stars whenever we can. Last year, in our Christmas special, we brought you Elvis. And, that's always a great one. You know, you can't beat Elvis. This year, we're bringing you another Hollywood great that you're going to get to hear from right now. And this is just a little taste of what our Grinchy Christmas special is going to be like. So 4.5 minutes, here you go. Please stay tuned for the second half of the English Defense League radio show. We've got some big stuff coming up. Here you go, guys.
'Twas the fright before Christmas. No one upset me with a big bowl of popcorn watching TV. I stretched, gave a yawn, settled back in my chair, in hopes that St. Nicholson soon would be there. The children were lying awake without sleep. They'd seen all his movies. He gives them the creeps. I'd queued up Cuckoo's Nest with my trusty remote to the part where he had all the nuts on the boat. When out in the yard, there arose such a noise, I turned off the TV to see what it was. And what to my wondering eyes should approach but the Los Angeles Lakers and Pat Riley, their coach. The limo was racing, the team at its heels. That's when I saw him, the man at the wheel. He ranted and cursed, waved round his swizzle stick, and I knew in a second it must be Jack Nick. More rapid than the Celtics, these Lakers they came. He screamed like a madman and called them by name.
Now Magic, now Worthy, now Scott and Kareem, on Cooper, on Rambis, and the rest of the team.
Down the chimney, St. Nicholson came with a groan. Then he brushed off the soot and said,
Honey, I'm home.
He was wearing a trench coat, with beer it was stained, and a shirt clawed to shreds by Shirley MacLaine. He had a fat face and a flabby beer belly, from too many trips to the bar and the deli.
It's tough when an actor becomes fat and lazy. I only get calls to play weirdos and crazies. Middle-aged has-beens with washed-up careers. But I'll fix them all and play Santa this year.
And with that, he buried his head in the sack and said,
Let's see what you get from your old buddy Jack. A hatchet for Daddy.
He reared back his head
to scare all those little buggers upstairs in bed.
and a stiff drink for Mommy in a nice tall glass. She could really use something to kill that bug up her chimney. With a wink of his eye and a twist of his face, he threw all the stockings into the fireplace. What could I do? What could I say? What would I wear on my feet Christmas Day? I asked for a reason, and turning his head, he looked straight at me, and here's what he said.
Why? Do you want to know why? Do you really want to know why, pal? I'll tell you why. When you're out Christmas shopping, you know, doing your little Christmas things with all your little Christmas friends, spreading all that Christmas cheer with those stupid Christmas songs. Did you ever stop and think of picking up a little something for old Jack? Huh? Did you ever stop to think what Jack might like for Christmas? You know, Jack from the movies, up on the big screen, pouring his heart out, giving it everything he's got, day in and day out, just trying as hard as he can to bring a tiny little bit of sunshine into your miserable little humdrum lives. Did you ever think of good old Jack, huh? For a second? No, not once. Maybe old Jack just wasn't that good, huh? Maybe I wasn't good enough and the postman always rings twice. Acted my guts out for you in that one. Cuckoo's Nest, The Shining, Witches of Freaking Eastwick, Pritchie's Freaking Honor. All for you, pal, just to brighten things up for you. Not good enough, though, is it? No, you want me to brighten up the Christmas season, too, huh? Isn't that what you want, pal? Okay, let's make things real bright around here. What do you say we decorate the tree? String up these pretty lights here. Oh, she's looking brighter already. Why don't we take this cute little angel and ram her on the top branch, huh? Huh? How about some gasoline for the whole freaking thing? I mean, let's make her just as bright as she can be. What do you say we light her up and chuck her through the old picture window here, huh, pal? No sense having a tree as bright as all that without giving the neighbors a chance to see, don't you think? There, aren't you glad old Jack stopped by?
The flames towered brightly in the cold, wintry sky as he made for his limo and bade his goodbye. And an age may unfold ere I fail to regret that visit from St. Nicholson, which I'd sooner forget. But I swear by the goosebumps upon my skin that I'll always remember that devilish grin and his voice crying out ere he faded from sight.
Merry Christmas to all, and I hope I never see you again as long as I live, for crying out loud.
And welcome back to the second half of the English Defense League radio show.
Wow, that was pre-awesome. I was right there, Dave, and I thought it's got to be a bit more. Brilliant, mate. Thank you for that, Dave.
You're welcome, Jeff. And one more little note to everybody. this is on a little bit more serious. Someone who's very important to our community, named Mary Brockman, is going to be having a pacemaker put in her heart.
Yes.
On Wednesday. So, if you guys can please remember her in your prayers, we'd appreciate it. All right. Now, Jeff, we've got another story. And guys, Jeff, you know, Jan, the first story came from Jan, but Jeff has been working hard out there and keeping an eagle eye on these yellow vest happenings in the UK. He's been doing a great job on this. And Jeff, I'm going to give you the story here. It has been. It's been a very, very busy week. And Jeff, if you'd like to read this one isn't too long, so it shouldn't tax your voice too much. If you'd like to read it, you know, as you found it, then I'll read the next one. Sound good?
Yeah, that's good to me. I'm just copying it now, and I'm just going to put it into the chat room. So just bear with me a second, Dave, and I'll be right there. And God bless our Mary. It's always quite concerning about one of our friends having to endure surgery at this time of the year, isn't it, Dave? But our thoughts and prayers go with Mary. She's a lovely lady, isn't she, mate? Lovely. Anyway, let me just... I've got that in there, in the chat room.
Indeed.
Now, Dave. and the story comes from Somerset Live. This is from their own newspaper. So, and the headline is Time to Fight Back. yellow vest protest could take to Somerset streets over lunatic councillor greed. And the story continues. Yellow vest type protests are set to erupt in Somerset as outrage has been expressed over councillors proposing to give themselves huge pay rises. There have been violent demonstrations in France recently as the yellow vest movement protest against rising fuel costs. The high cost of living and claims the burden of government tax reforms is falling on the working class. Protesters wearing the iconic yellow vest are set to pour into the streets of Bridgwater after local councillors, wait till you hear this figure, they proposed a 32% expenses increase. Did you hear that? 32% rent expenses increase. Sedgemere District councillors' executive members voted through their own pay rise earlier this week while simultaneously presiding, wait for this, Dave, over £150,000 in staff cuts. So they give themselves a big rise and then kick the butts of the people, the working class people. It's absolutely disgusting. As local services continue to cut across the county, Jason Dow is planning to fight back against lunatic councillors wanting to bolster their paychecks. The local businessman, who has recently had to close his tour company due to rising costs, has said local councils cannot do this to people, and it's called for the new Battle of Sedgemere. Protests are expected to bring whistles, flags, air horns, fireworks, and anything that makes a noise to the protest. He said these lunatics think it's okay that they can give themselves pay rises well above inflation. The fact that they have even suggested that this is a reasonable pay increase just smacks of massive greed. I would agree with what he said there. The government and councillors constantly say again and again that there is no money and services must be cut, and everybody just believes this lie. We are constantly told that we are the fifth wealthiest country in the world. Meanwhile, the public services continue to be cut. How can they possibly say that? Where's the money? Mr. Dow, who served in the British Army for 23 years, is organising the event where protesters will march through the town from the docks to the council offices on Sunday, December the 30th, and every Sunday thereafter. He said people need to stop writing on social media and actually do something. I agree. Let's start something they hear in Westminster. We will copy the French yellow vest protests. He added, wear a yellow vest and at 10 a.m. we will start walking towards the Sedgemere District Council offices. However, you want to protest, it's up to you. Obey the law, don't wreck anything, have a cup of tea, have a fag, walk the dog, just do something. Mr. Dow recently had to close his business selling mechanical tools to the car industry across Somerset due to rising costs from his suppliers. He said this country's a laughing stock. You can't do this to people. House prices have gone up. Fuel prices have gone up. Energy prices have gone up. Everybody is getting squeezed. Everybody has less and less in their pocket. None of the hospital workers, police officers, or bus drivers are getting pay rises well above inflation. everybody in Somerset would love a pay rise. Agreed. Mr. Dull is calling for, wait for it, a new Battle of Sedgemoor. The Battle of Sedgemoor occurred in the summer of 1685 and was an attempt to seize the crown of England by James Scott, Duke of Monmouth, from his uncle, the Catholic King James II. It was fought that in what is now the village of Weston-on-Zand, 4 miles away from Bridgewater. Mr. Dow has been using social media to mobilise protesters for the events. On Facebook, he wrote, "We are being robbed and just letting it happen. A 36% pay rise for the local executive, council executive? That's about £36 extra on every £100 you earn. £360 extra on every £1,000. It's time to fight back. On Sunday, December the 30th, and every Sunday until they listen, a day of protest, let's start searching at something they hear in Westminster. Wear a yellow vest, and at 10 a.m. we will start walking towards the Sedgemoor District Council offices, King's Square, from the Admiral's Landing, the docks, Bridgewater. Bring whistles, flags, air horns, fireworks, and anything that makes a noise." He added, "You have a choice. Accept being kicked like an obedient, submissive dog, or get off your arse and do something about it. The police, fire services, NHS service have been cut and cut. We've been sold a lie. Austerity, there is no money. Why can they find the money to give themselves such a large rise? Sedgemoor District Council has clarified that the proposed pay rise is 32%. The council has been approached for comment on the pay rise and the protests." Just bear with me when I go down this. Well, that's it. But it seems like they don't want to talk about it. So, Dave,
of course not.
That's you.
Well, you know, Jeff, what strikes me about this is it's very similar to when our American Congress passed a bill that said that their pay raises would just now be automatic. They wouldn't have to debate it anymore. You know, and that just blew people away over here. You know, the fact that no, they're no longer responsible for coming to the American people and saying, well, do we deserve a raise? No, it's just, oh no, we just automatically get a raise. And it is endemic, I think, of things, Jeff, that you've said over the years. There shouldn't be a class system in the UK. There just shouldn't be. There should just be equality for all people. But you see this. These councillors now believe that, well, they always have, I'm sure, believe that they're just better than the ordinary people. They're, oh, well, we're on the council. We're better than some bus driver. So naturally,
they
got
their noses up their asses, and they don't care about the working class people. They think they're
exactly
on a cushy number, and they will just ignore people having a go about it until, as it's been stated in the chat room, pitchforks and whatever, at the time will come.
No, it's...
We're heading, Dave,
no, it,
and I'm going to say this again, and it has been used, the term Cromwellian times approach, very fast now. Say that again.
You have...
Cromwellian times is approaching. Once again, history will repeat itself. So this is it. I mean, and the Battle of Sedgemoor was very much a part of what... what was talked about, the Battle of Sedgemoor, was all due to King James. We know what happened to him. He had his head removed, didn't he? Yes. So we live in the 21st century, but unfortunately, we come again to a time when the people have got to stand up and do their duty for their families and for their country. Nothing to do with politics whatsoever. It's just those in politics
no.
abusing people, just the working class people, taxing them to the hilt, etc. We've had enough now. It's time for the rebellion, or whatever you want to call it, a revolution, a quiet revolution, Dave, a quiet revolution.
Hmm. Yeah.
If that's the way
well,
they want it, we will keep quiet. But they try any dirty tactics, things could change very quickly, Dave. And then you've got a full-blown revolution. And we know what that... we know all about those sort of things. We look around the world. We look at other revolutions that's gone on across the world. We look at France with their revolution. We've had civil wars in this country before. This is nothing new to us, Dave. We've been there. We've done it. We hate it and we despise it. But if it needs to be done and we need to stand up and fight for what's right, yes, we do. Every man and woman, this is the duty to you, for you to serve your country and for your people. We stand shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. That's what we do. You know, we've done this for centuries, Dave. We thought everybody bloody going. There's not too many people we haven't thought, Dave. When it comes, we've seen battles within governments, blah, blah. We've foreigners have invaded us. We've had all sorts, but we've dealt with it in our own way. And this is no different. It could get a bit nasty if PESCO gets involved, and you know I'm talking about the European Army.
Mm-hmm.
But they will be disposed of. If they think they come along across these shores wearing the EU emblem and are going to gun down people, there will end up, this country will be their graveyard. That is a warning to you in the EU. PESCO and all that. And Theresa May, you better listen quietly to what we're saying, because we mean it. We mean it. You know, Dave,
well,
that's
Jeff,
why
look
that's
at,
why it's heading towards. I'll tell you that, mate. We've talked about it, but now I'm saying this is a Cromwellian time we're living now. And other people, just not me saying it, other people have been saying it, Dave. That is it. It's the feeling that we've got.
Well, Jeff, and the thing is, it's just the this what's sparking this particular one of many of these yellow vest demonstrations is the exact situation that's going on in the UK and in Europe, which is and they're trying to do it in the United States, which is a moneyed, privileged, ruling class of people. Putting themselves above everyone else, and dissolving the borders, and basically making a system where they have everything, and everyone else has practically nothing. You know, all this talk about the wonders of socialism and how it's going to give free things to everybody. Yeah, look at Venezuela and Cuba, and you'll see what those wonderful things that everybody will have. Okay. But you can rest assured, if you believe in socialism, that your rulers will be living large. You know, they'll be banking hard. They'll have the nice expense accounts, and they will be just fine. Best medical care,
electric
best everything.
Fences, armed police, or their armed security personnel.
Yep.
You know, we know. But unfortunately for them, there's far more of us than them, and they might have their electric fences. Maybe we can borrow a couple of tanks or something, rather take the fences down and just totally demolish the places. That's how it'll end up. You can see it, can't you?
Well, Jeff, it's
they might have a bit more money than the working class people. You know, that we've all heard that before. But
many times.
You got it, Dave. We are living those times. We, coming out of Christmas and that, we have terror attacks. Why is it we expect terror attacks around about Christmas? Thank goodness.
You know
the,
what?
That one person is dead now. Shot just after midnight on Thursday,
yep.
I think it was, Dave.
Yeah, they finally got it.
There was
they
a shootout, and he ended up...
Yeah, there was a bit of what?
Just a lot of holes. A bit of Swiss cheese.
Yeah. Well, Jeff, here's the deal. Here's the deal. Okay? You have governments that are for the people and governments that are for themselves. And a guy named Lars Obeck. Sorry, Lars, if I messed up your name. Sorry, man. You know, shared a meme with me. It was a picture of it was a side by side video. Christmas in Poland versus Christmas in Germany. And in Poland, they've got these beautiful, lovely Christmas celebrations going on, parades and lights and people just enjoying themselves and having a wonderful time at Christmas. In Germany, what have they got? Police running around, anti-terror barricades everywhere. People afraid to go out to a Christmas market because they're afraid of a terrorist attack. Really, when you talk about the season, This is another thing that's pointed up. There are governments that care more about enriching themselves and allowing just any old thing to happen to the people. And then there are governments that care about the people. And you see that contrast. And by the way, Poland is, unless I'm mistaken, someone could correct me if I'm wrong. Poland is one of those countries that is not signing on to the UN Migration Pact. They're just not taking in the migrants. They're just not doing it. And that is because they want to have a good, peaceful life where they are. Okay. And we lost Jeff, but Jeff will be back. And, that's what it is. They don't want the migrants because, because of all the terror that they bring with them. Okay, guys, I'm going to play this. This will last about a minute and 15 seconds. This was done some time ago. But this was a Polish member of parliament that was being interviewed about migration. Let's give this a listen real quick, folks, and then we have one more story.
Okay, let me put that point.
We cannot leave Italy alone.
Let me put that point to Mr. Toczynski. Let me just ask Mr. Toczynski, how many refugees has Poland taken?
Zero.
And you're proud of that?
If you are asking me, if you are asking me about Muslims' illegal immigration, none. Not even one will come to Poland. Not even one if it's illegal. We took over 2 million Ukrainians who are working, who are peaceful in Poland. We will not receive even one Muslim because this is what we promised.
But I asked not about illegal immigrants. I asked about refugees. And Jean-Claude Juncker, the Commission President, says that you're racist. You sound proud of the fact that you haven't taken any refugees.
Of course, because this is what our people are expecting from our government. That's number one. This is why our government was elected. But this is why Poland is so safe. This is the reason why we have not even one terrorist attack. Look at the streets in Poland. And we can be called populists, nationalists, racists. I don't care. I care about my family and about my country.
And there it is, guys. There it is. I love playing that once in a while. Welcome back, Jeff. I love playing that once in a while because it points up a country that cares about its people versus a country that just cares about making its own rulers richer and to hell with the people. Now, Jeff, we've got time, I think. Let's see. Let me check the clock here. Yeah, we've got time. I'm going to try and read this real quick for one more story. This is one you found, and I'm going to read it. And let's see. I'm going to give it to you for the chat here. Okay. Yeah, man, there's just a whole lot going on this week, guys. It's unbelievable. But here we go. Jeff, you got it for the chat. Now, this one here comes from Sputnik News. And I've used them in my shows, guys. They're usually fairly reliable. They're an aggregator. They get stuff from other news sources. Okay, this one was put out on the 14th, all right? And the headline on this one is Mayhem and Revolution if Brexit not delivered. Yellow Vest UK tell Sputnik. All right, subhead on this. Yellow Vest wearing activists took to the streets of London on Friday, blocking traffic and chanting pro-Brexit slogans. They spoke to Sputnik about the mistrust in politicians and hopes for a clean exit from the European Union. So they actually do some reporting too, not just aggregation. An activist told Sputnik they voted for Brexit because they wanted to reclaim control of their own country. I'm going to scroll down a bit, guys, here, past some of the stuff they have here. Okay. All right. Okay. Inspired by the recent Gilets Jaunes movement in France, that's Yellow Vest, the London protest saw activists on Friday protest outside Downing Street, as well as Westminster Bridge, which they shut down, Tower Bridge, and London Bridge. This is Britain. We are not European. We have never been European. We don't want to be a part of a federal European superstate, Yellow Vest UK told me today as the protests across London. All right. And this was, I'm just going to scroll up here real quick, guys, to get this one. Okay. That was from this, by the way. I'm just going to see if I can find a byline here real quick. Okay. Can't find one. But this apparently is an account from a reporter working for Sputnik News. Okay, let me just see if there's anything left in this one. All right, let's see. Okay, they warned they were not going anywhere and were determined to support the Brexit cause among others. Okay, and I'm going to scroll down a bit more. They put quite a few pictures and other little things in with their stories. The UK Prime Minister, Theresa May, battles for concessions for the current Brexit withdrawal deal in Brussels, which stinks, promoted by deep mistrust and opposition in the UK Parliament. Well, it's no wonder. During a press conference on Friday, the PM confirmed Downing Street is also making preparations for a non-deal scenario. Yeah, I'll believe that. When monkeys fly out of my butt. Speaking about the possibility of a second referendum on the nature of the deal, another activist said, and I'm going to scroll down to get that. Okay. Okay, here we go. Another activist said, if there is a second referendum, there will be mayhem. We will make sure that the polling stations are unreachable. The will of the people has to be respected. If it isn't, you will see riots that make riots in France seem like nothing. Jeff, that's the end of that one, and good on you for finding that one and the previous one, man. Yeah. It's exactly what you were talking about. Yeah, so there you are.
Well, it is what it is, Dave. The guy that was speaks on behalf of us all, because that's what we feel. We're not putting up this. You go against our democratic rights, 17.5 million people voted a Brexit to remove us from the EU, for our sovereign rights, and to be free from the shackles, fishing rights, etc. And with Theresa May, who's trying to oppose what we're doing, because she was Remainer, what does the country expect? That we're just going to go about it in a good old British way. No, you go against our democratic, our rights, you will feel the wrath of the people. She must be living on another planet or something. She can't see that. And other politicians, don't they realise that this is really as severe as you can get. And what you're hearing is from the grassroots people on the country speaking out. You know, and it's going to come. And none of us want it to, but when we got a government that's opposing us, look at the rats that got on board with the made a treasonous rat herself, King Rat. And you can see, you can almost see the rat coming out of her. You know, we've had enough.
Right.
And
Right.
You've just seen the real beginning, because you heard in the heart of that person who's talking. That is the real patriot speaking. You go against, you know, our Brexit. You go against the will of the people. You do it, and I've said this on numerous occasions, at your own peril. And I speak it very gravely to these politicians, these idiots out there, who think they, oh, we'll have to worry. The natives are arrested. We can handle it. I don't think so. Judge what history says. Check it out. Oh, you'll be feeling very, very uncomfortable at this moment in time. 2019 is going to be a very, very interesting time. Ladies and gentlemen, you stay tuned, because I'll tell you what, you can hear a lot over the next few weeks after Christmas. We're going to keep it calm, but you know what? It's too much. You know, it's too much. People are still going to be doing this. Christmas period, no Christmas period. This is for the future. And you've got to stand up and do what's right. Yes, we'll have a day of peace and goodwill like we normally do. But the war still continues. There was a Second World War when the soldiers stopped fighting and even shook hands and had a game of football, or was in the trenches in the First World War, though. But they'll come that
World
time.
World War One, yeah.
But after that, it's full steam ahead, ladies and gentlemen. But Dave, it jumped out at me, that story, and I see that. And it's like, I felt like it was me that's speaking out. I thought it'd be speaking, because these are the things I say and have been saying for years, isn't it, Dave?
Right, yeah. I mean, this is, you guys can hear it from Jeff, and you know, it's the same with me. It is rather gratifying at this moment in time to hear more and more people waking up to the things that we've been talking about for a long time. And I came into this show here a year after Jeff had been doing it, right around a year after. So Jeff's been talking about this way longer than I have. And, you know, he and Jan have far more experience than I do, and you know, for them it must be even more gratifying. It should be gratifying for anyone who is a lover of human rights of all kinds, you know, the rights of women, gays, and just basic things like the decent treatment of animals and protecting your own people economically, and giving them the opportunity instead of bringing in a whole lot of people who want to wipe out your culture, and taking better care of them than you are of your own people. These things speak to us on a basic level, and I think, you know, it's gratifying to me that more and more people are beginning to listen to this and not listen to the fake stream media talk about, oh, it's all racist. It's all racism.
Dave. We've had enough of this crap.
Yeah, yeah.
It's trying to silence us, trying to put us in a box, trying to stop us from rising up. Well, let me give a shout out to them. We don't care what you say about us, because we've all had enough. And whatever you say, whatever big stick you think you can use, it's not good enough now. It's not going to work.
Nope.
And you know it. And I can imagine them scuttling about like rats in a fervor. Dave, they know what's coming. They know what's coming. We know what's coming. And, it's going to be there. Thorpe said, it seems like World War III and socialism is to blame. Well, there you go. I cannot disagree what Thorpe said there. Dave, World War III or whatever,
I have to agree.
You think of World War III of nuclear weapons, but maybe it is a totally different than what we expect it to be. I don't know. But we shall see, Dave. We shall see.
Yeah,
we live in precarious times now.
We do, Jeff, we do. And the thing, you know, it goes right to the theme of the show, because so do the elites. You know, they live in precarious times, and it's because the people have woken up, man. And it really is good to see. Well, look at the Macron. You know, for a few days there, you know, he was really hard to reach. You know, and still don't know if he's you know, back in France, if he hasn't, you know, like, scuttled off somewhere, you know, because he's a, you know, I find it amazing that he called the supporters of Marine Le Pen cowards when he isn't willing to face the consequences of what he's doing, you know. I saw another story, Jeff, you know, and it was, I forget which news source it was from, but I thought it was fascinating that he's in trouble politically, you know, not just from the right, but from his, you know, from some of his own party. Some of his own people are going, well, okay, man, yeah, now you're going too far, you know, because now you're threatening our good times and our big expense accounts and everything, you know. So it's all beginning to collapse around his big ears, you know. That's the thing, man. I am very hopeful and very prayerful to God that the people will rise up and that all of the people will be cared for in our nations, not just people who want to come in and destroy our cultures and hurt our people.
Well, I agree with you, Dave. What can I say? I'm in total agreement with what you said there. We're not going to just stand by and let this happen. I get really upset to find that we've got veterans who's living on the streets.
Yeah.
Because
the powers be
think, deem it more better to give someone from a foreign country a flat or a home to live in and leave our veterans on the streets who fought for this country. I can't get my head around that, David. I know you can't. Because you've had a similar situation in the United States. We know that. I mean, sadly, that's gone. I don't think things are changing since you've had your president in charge. I know he's doing a lot. He signed a lot of bills to stop those people who are betraying the good people, the good veterans. I mean, we know they have all sorts of issues, but at least you've got someone who cares about you. Sadly, we haven't got that in this country, which it's very sad. It's very sad, and we... you know, some of the saddest things to know your veterans are living in cardboard boxes. My God, can you imagine it, Dave?
Can you imagine that? Yeah, it's terrible, man. It really is that, you know, to think that happened. And this sort of thing happens over here in the States as well. And I'm sure it happens in other allied countries. You know, over here in the States, we have like, you know, Catholic social services and Lutheran social services. And, you know, they will routinely do all sorts of things for these migrants, okay? They will routinely do all sorts of things for these migrants. And, you know, what do they do? What do they do for our veterans? You know, if they just split that in half, our veterans would have what they needed. But they won't even do that. You know, that's the horror of it, Jeff. You know, is that they won't even do that. They won't even help our own veterans because, you know, for reasons which I don't even understand, man. They won't do it, and that's a terrible thing. But listen, man, we've got about 5 minutes left of the show.
Yeah,
I
just noticed the time. It's we get sometimes, and this is the thing about with the radio show, and I've noticed someone's joined us in the studio at the same time.
Yeah, sorry, we don't have time to take calls, though. Yeah.
We can't take your call now, so, yeah, it's just he or she just dropped off. But Dave, I've got to say, we did know it was going to be a busy radio show, but I'm going to pass
indeed,
on to you
yeah.
because we've got a Christmas special that we'll be broadcasting this Thursday. We'll be doing talking about the year and this, that, and the other. Yeah, sorry, 1099, your last four digits, but we can't take no calls now. We're coming to the end of our broadcast. So once again, thank you for joining us. But maybe
yep,
if you come in a bit earlier Thursday, we'll take your call. So with that, Dave, let me pass it to you, mate, because I know we're right down to the right down to the end. So, Dave, over to you, pal.
All right. Okay, well, I don't know if we'll be taking a lot of calls on during our Christmas special, but I will say this. you know, please check out the Unpleasant Blind Guy page at Spreaker.com. That's at through SHR Media. And, you know, my shows come on Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern. And that is you know, also the show comes on at midnight. Excuse me, I'm sorry. 1 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. And that is also 6 p.m. in the U.K. And they come on at midnight on Saturday. And that is 5 a.m. in the U.K. Right now I've got one about the incoming Congress. Excuse me. And why them being elected is indeed a big deal. You know, so please give that one a listen. And that's going to be my last regular show. The one that's coming out on Saturday will be my Christmas special. And, you know, I want to invite everybody to the English Defense League Grinchy Christmas special, which is going to come on Thursday at the usual time, 8:30 p.m. in the U.K. and 3:30 p.m. Eastern in the United States of America. Guys, you know, come and join us. We're gonna, you know, kind of gently poke at Christmas a little bit, just gently, you know, because
yeah.
guests feel a little bit grinchy this year. So we're gonna have a lot of fun. So please come and join us. And I just want to say out there, there are a lot of people who are putting their lives on the line. I'm just posting something awful in my Facebook page. About how some of these people look being hit by these rubber bullets in France. So they're out there doing what they can do, and we really need to support them. I just want to say to the foot soldiers, Angels, and patriots and supporters of the cause of the English Defense League, and to those around the planet, all you guys out there doing what you do, you know, be blessed and no surrender. Back to you, brother.
No surrender ever. All what Dave said, I'd like to thank him for the slides and for the script tonight. But we're really down to the bar now, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in the chat room, Vorpal Bite, and of course, who's the other gentleman who we had here, Gary Kemper. It was good to see you here this evening, buddy. Thank you so much, pal. We'll speak to you soon. But okay with that. Yeah, I've got 90 seconds, you just told me. Everybody out there, wherever you might be, thank you for supporting the English Defence League radio show and the organisation. Thank you. God bless you. No surrender. And with that, we're going underground. Good night, Dave. Good night, guys. Here you go.
Good night, Jeff. Good night, everybody.
Have a great evening, everybody. Good night. People might say that I should strive for more. I'm so happy I can't see the point of running here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, than the mine. When you feel a sense for sports, I'm his wife. Then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing. I have to stop from going underground. What is the prospect for you? Get some pleasure as I hate me. I've been up already on my fate. People
people might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging green and black. To be here, so what you get? You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your lead and not place your trust. And the lies will shut down and their promises run. You'll be killing machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Go. And once again, we come to the end of our transmission for this evening. Got to thank everybody, and of course Jan for all the work that she does in the background, and everybody that supports the show. And the, was it 1.34% of Ukrainians listening to the show this week? Thank you so much as well, and you're in our thoughts and prayers as well. Great people. Okay, you take care, stay safe, and of course, please be vigilant. Please be vigilant, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's this time of year once again. So you just, if you're going out, you're doing shopping, just make sure you know where the entrances are. I know it's hard to say, but we're just thinking of you and your safety. You know, we want you to have a good Christmas and that. But anyway, we will see you Thursday. We got our Christmas show. Bit of Grinchy show. No, it'll be fun. It'll be fun as it normally is. So, okay. This is the English Defence League radio show. We're going to sign off tonight. But, you know, we'll be back for Thursday's show. And after that, we're having a break for a couple of weeks though, after Christmas. So we'll see you Thursday. No surrender. No surrender ever. God bless you all.